chapter 10, verse 25. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant of the Lord, but they have called the master of the house Beelzebub. Verse 20, fear them not, therefore, if they shall not be revealed. And verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that be in light. And to fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. We talked about that, and it's talking about don't fear anyone but God. Now then, I continue with the Lord's commandment in Matthew chapter 10, and let's look at verse 8. It says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. You know any preacher in town that only has two coats and two pairs of shoes? What about money in their pockets? I got gobs, right? Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass. Why? Why did Jesus command that?
In case they had to
go
into the mountains, isn't it?
In case they had to go into the mountains?
Yeah, please.
Preparing for the tribulation.
I mean, they were supposed to get rid of everything that would keep them from fleeing.
Go to Acts chapter 1. The Bible just says it a whole lot better than I do. Now, I don't know if I've ever told you this or not, but in Acts chapter 1 is the first mention of an automobile in the Bible. Yeah, Carol 1:4. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Then all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with this woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his servant. Okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 46 of Acts chapter 2. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord asked to the church, added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. What I'm showing you here is from Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 5. What were the people? In one accord. Okay? They were instructed to do what? Come. Sell everything that you've got. Give it to the apostles. Don't have any belongings. Sell all of those. All your money. Take all that and give it to the apostles. Why? Money is what? The love of money is the root of all evil. That wasn't it. What it was? What it was the apostles were going to be the ministers of all the goods and give everybody proportionate amount. And that's what socialism was designed to do.
The Amish do that.
Okay? You just bring them all in here, and we're going to split out the goods. And they were fine with that, weren't they? They were all in one accord. Well, what happened? In Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? What did Ananias do?
Kept back part of it. Didn't give it all.
He gave the Lord 10%, kept 90%. I'm just... Verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard those things. Drop dead. Why?
Hebrews 6:4-6.
What?
Then they partake the taste of the heavenly gift. And that was it. He has no more.
Because he didn't do as he was instructed. He did not do what God commanded. What did we say back over here? Faith in God doing whatever God commanded. And God commanded them to do what? Sell all their possession. Give all of it. And then right after that, his wife comes in. She hits the floor too. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 12, they're still in all in one accord after those two did their stuff. But it was the beginning of the downfall. It's kind of like taking these dominoes, stacking up around the table all around, pushing one little button. And then there became murmuring. As in the days of wandering in the wilderness when they murmured against Moses. Okay? And it went downhill, folks. Acts chapter 5. Acts 1 through 4. 5 through 28. Israel. Man, they're running on top of the mountain. And then they go downhill until in Acts chapter 28, what are we now? Go there. Acts chapter 28 is right before Romans chapter 1. 25. Acts 28:25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people, Israel, is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Okay? What is this called in Scripture? Lo am I. What does lo am I mean? Not my people. The book of Hosea. Well, we won't take the time to go there, but you go look at Hosea. Hosea was a prophet of God. God instructs him to go take Gomer, a wife of whoredoms, it says in the Bible. They have three children. There is Jezreel, and the Hebrew word means scattered and so. There's Lo Ruhamah, which means not having obtained mercy. And the third child was Lo Ammah, which means not my people. So what happens is, that represents, the book of Hosea and those children represents the decline of Israel. Okay? God didn't have mercy upon them. He scattered them and sowed them to the four winds. And then he, in Acts chapter 28, said, you're not my people. Folks, the Jews, they are not God's people. To do what? To go out and save souls. We were talking to Rhoda. She was talking to me earlier. See, the purpose for Israel was to be evangelist to the world. Now go back to Acts chapter 1. There's a lot of confusing things. Most fundamental denominations consider Acts 2 to be the beginning of the body of Christ. Okay? Because of the outpouring of the Spirit. Okay? Okay, so? I'm going to try to show you. And I can show you if you empty your minds of preconceived ideas. Just long enough to listen. Okay? Verse 1 of chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the whole house where they were sitting. What filled the whole house? Right, wrong, but right afterwards, right. Sound as of a mighty rushing wind. How many of you have been in a tornado? Sounds pretty good, right? Woo-woo! Freight train, right? And then down in South Louisiana where I came from, the hurricanes, man, I mean, they were that way. The sound as of a mighty rushing wind. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. What is it? Tongues sitting up on top of them? Or cloven tongues like as a fire, right? It's a flame. Okay? And they were all, what's the next word? Filled what? Hey folks, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, guess what? You're filled. And what can you do? All things. Okay? All things. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews and Gentiles. Is that what it said?
Jews.
What do we have? We have a day of Pentecost, which is one of the seven Jewish feast days. The day of Pentecost has come, and there are a bunch of Jews that are gathered at Jerusalem. Why? It's just like you've heard of the pilgrimage that Muslims make when they go into Saudi Arabia, right? The Jews did this to Jerusalem. Okay? There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, Jews, out of what? Every nation under heaven. Folks, there are a bunch of Jews from a lot of different countries that are gathered there at Jerusalem. That's what it said. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Let me read that again. That every man heard them speak in their own language. Kanji Ebida. Boss is lost.
What's the matter? Excuse me?
Is sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Yeah.
Ich nicht sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Since when do you talk Dutch?
German.
German. German.
Okay? I speak German, but you would hear it in English. Did you understand that? Back in that point in time, I could speak all the German I want to, but you would understand it. Because you would hear it, heard, in your own language. The amazing thing of Pentecost wasn't someone speaking in gibberish, but hearing what the apostle spoke. Verse 7, and they were all amazed, and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? What are they saying? Aren't these people from across the tracks? What are they doing speaking in language, all my languages, right? Yeah. And how, what's the next word?
Here
we, every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And then it goes off to name the various different countries that are there, Parthians and Medes, Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. What does the word proselyte mean?
Converted
Gentiles, believes what? All right. Cretes and Arabians. We do the next word again. Hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Those people, there are a certain number of people that say, you get saved, but you get really saved when you speak in tongues.
They told me that unless I speak in tongues, I don't have the Holy Spirit.
You wouldn't, didn't have the Holy Spirit? But what did it say back over here? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why I told you that and brought it up. They didn't go around jibber-jabbering. They just listened. How about that? Folks, if denominations would take away their creeds and just follow the Bible, wouldn't it be a more wonderful place to live? It's the denominational creeds. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, his second letter. In verse 14 he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So the statement is here, Paul is saying, if Christ died for us, and he did, then it meant that everybody was dead. Dead what? In sin. In trespasses and sin. Otherwise, why would he have to die? Verse 15. And that he died for all. Let me ask you something, folks. Did he die for all, or did he just die for the folks in Auburn, Kentucky? Nashville, Tennessee? Did he die for all? Did he die for all of those that are not even born yet? Absolutely. Absolutely. He died once, Hebrews says, for all, forever. If you believe, as some teach, that you must confess your sins, come down to the altar and confess your sins before God, okay? If you believe that you got to come and confess, you don't believe that Christ died for all your sins. He either died for all of them or he didn't die for any of them. I know that don't sit too well with some folks, but I'm just reading what it says. He died for all. That they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto whom?
Him.
Jesus, who died for. That's who you're supposed to live for. Now look at this. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, what? Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. What's Paul saying? Did I hear right? Did he say, forget about what Christ in the flesh was all about? Huh? Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth though we have no more. Folks, Christ did great things in the flesh. But the greatest thing he accomplished for us is what he did after he was resurrected. Don't remember him in the flesh. Don't remember the red letters in your Bible. Okay? Remember who your apostle is, and that's Paul. And Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, had more power in conquering death than anything that he did in life. And there are so many people who tell me, well, I just get my doctrine out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, you don't have the doctrine that saves, folks. If that's all you get it out of. If the New Testament to you is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then let me tell you, share something with you. You can't get saved in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John today. Verse 17. This is where it's really going.
Oh. That is incredible.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new
creature.
Other translations say creation.
Oh, wow.
He's a new creature. Let me tell you what. It means creature. If X marries Y, they produce XY. Right? Male, female. Got a lineage of male over here. Got a lineage of female over here. The XY picks up characteristics from each one of those. Right? But Paul is saying XY equals Z. A new creature. Not from our mothers and fathers, but in Christ. Okay? That makes sense?
Yes.
New creature. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by keeping the law. By Jesus Christ. And hath committed to us what? This is what we've been committed to. The ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
To it. What is reconciliation? To it. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation says Christ and took all the sins.
Amen.
Put it on him. Didn't put them on you.
That is so neat.
Isn't that great? Verse 20. Now then.
We are ambassadors.
Back in Matthew 28, 19, 20, that's the Great Commission. Here is the Greater Commission.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, what he's saying. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ain't no way we can be righteous apart from Jesus Christ. But if we are in Christ, we are righteous in the sight of God. Wow. Ain't them powerful words. So the gospel, then, let me ask you this. Is the gospel to the circumcision or the gospel to the uncircumcision the same gospel?
No way.
Can't be, can it? It can't be.
It was hidden before the time began.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. What does that say, David? Dave?
Ephesians 1, 4?
Mm-hmm. According as He has...
Go ahead.
I'm just trying to quote from memory.
According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world.
He chose us in Him
before
the foundation
of the world.
Okay, I'm going to stop right here now for questions. Mm-hmm. Any question generated either from the study or from something else that you want to come up with? Anybody?
So when does it revert back to 1,000-year reign?
Good question. When does it revert back to 1,000 years? Now, Monday night, we talked about wrath and tribulation. We talked about the rapture and the second coming of Christ, right? The rapture of the body is here. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation, right? Cut in two, three and a half, three and a half. Satan's going to be kicked out here. And in the last 3.5 years, he's going to come down to earth. And then he's going to be put into what we call the bottomless pit and bound for 1,000 years. The law and the Moses. And what does Isaiah say about Jesus when he comes to earth over here in the kingdom? He will rule with a what?
Iron.
A lot of iron.
Oh my goodness.
Ain't nothing like grace.
Oh my goodness.
Ain't nothing like grace. You are living in the most blessed period of time that God ever... He did it. He chose us before He chose the law.
And it's going to start all over again, and it's going to start with the cavemen.
All right. Good question. Terry, so... Anybody else?
Born under that.
The last week we talked about Monday night. We talked about Matthew 24 being the tribulation chapter, and it talks about, you know, when you see such and such, don't just run, just go, get out of there, okay? And the people who were taken away during the tribulation time were those who were lost, whereas those in the body of Christ, those that are taken away, are the saved. The ones who are taken away in this time, the lost, and the others are going to be ushered into the 1,000-year reign. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So what happens to all, like, the children or whatever that, you know, aren't old enough to, like, understand? Will they be here during the 7 years of tribulation, or what? How does that work? Like, when the rapture happens, like, what happens to all children? That's what I'm wondering. Like,
they're innocent, you know.
Okay, but so what happens to them?
Yeah.
Do they go through that period?
Let me tell you something, folks. If you are saved until the child becomes of an age where he can reason on his own, they will be taken with you. If your child is going to be lost, it's because you were not saved. If a husband and wife are lost, the children will inherit their lostness.
Wow.
Until they reach an age of accountability.
Isn't there a scripture somewhere in the Bible that shows that?
No? I think so.
I'm thinking it's 1 Corinthians something.
It is.
another time, but I can't remember how it goes.
That children will be sanctified by them saying,
yeah.
Sanctified.
Yeah.
I think it's just
good. Here's your assignment. Go find out the meaning of sanctification, justification. Okay? Those two.
See, it's pretty clear in the Bible that the husband is to be the one who washes the family with the word. What if the husband's not saved and the wife is?
Then the husband is lost, and the wife, because she is the deliverer of the
Marty,
of the child, will be
it's about the other way around. It's the husband's there and the wife's there.
Same thing. Their seed, you know, seed implanted into a lost one until its age accountability is going to be. Now, I believe this. That is nothing like that is scriptural. But if you go to the, I mean, it's not where it just spells it out. But if you see, you'll find that, huh?
First Corinthians 7:14.
Read it.
Because I use for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and unbelieving wife is sanctified by her husband. Else were the children unclean, but now are they holy.
That's what I say. You know, the very first time I got asked that question threw me for a little bit. But you got to believe this, and we've got two beautiful children. You got to believe that God's going to do what is right, regardless. Okay? If you have that kind of faith, guess what? God's going to deliver. That's right. It really boils down to you being saved. If you entrust Christ as your Savior, your children are in danger. Okay.
Sure wouldn't want to get James.
I would. Well, what about you teach your children all this stuff, and when they get away from you, they just go to hell in a handbasket? You did what you did. That's why it's important. Karl Marx said, you give me a child to age 6 and I'll give you a communist. You give me a child to age 6 taught and I'll give you a Christian. There was a time in Baton Rouge when we had children's church and it wasn't coloring. It was children's church. I could put up a 3-year-old child that was taught on their level against many adults today.
Many adults.
Yeah.
Teach them. Don't just teach them about David and Goliath and Samson. Teach them. I'm more slap at.
That's
okay.
Thank you so much. Slap more.
Thank you so much.